Hello and welcome back to Chaos West TV. The talk will start in just a moment. I will now switch to German for 1 second to announce the German translation. Then I'll switch back to English and then we get started. Hallo alle zusammen, willkommen zu Chaos West TV. Der nächste Talk ist zwar auf Englisch, wird aber dank unseres wunderbaren Translation Teams auf Deutsch übersetzt. Translation heißt übrigens übersetzen auf Deutsch, nur damit das auch schon noch übersetzt ist. Er sollte das im Stream auswählen können, denke ich. Und dann könnt ihr diesen Talk auch auf Deutsch genießen. Und ich wechsle damit direkt zurück auf Englisch. All right, we're back. And now, without any further delay, please welcome the Sphoric Unicorn to the virtual stage. Give her a warm round of applause in the privacy of your viewing bay. And let's get started with the talk, Union Busting. What is it and why should you care?
Hello and welcome to my talk on the topic of union busting, what it is and why you should care. Firstly, let's talk a bit about content notices. During this talk, I will be mentioning police brutality, workplace inequality, which is often caused by structural forms of discrimination, as well as the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. Just so you know, and you can make an informed decision on whether you want to keep watching. Okay, so let's get started. I've kind of structured this talk into two main parts, the first being why you should care, even though it's the second part of the sentence, where I'm going to explain a bit about what unions could do for you, because I think it's fair to assume that a large amount of people watching this talk will probably be tech workers who are not unionized, who don't really know why they should be unionized, because many of us actually have pretty good workplaces, so we don't really feel a need for a union. And then I want to talk about just the union busting part, what is being done, and what can be done against union busting. So yeah, at first, what's the current situation? Union membership has been in decline for decades. Unions seem kind of antiquated, old school, and well, that's not really true. They aren't antiquated or old school. They just aren't as popular as they used to be. This is caused by a number of factors, like new industries that never did have unions, like programming. There never was some general programming union, at least not in Germany. So many people working in these new industries just never had any contact to unions and don't really know where or why they would need them. More people are in precarious and or pseudo self-employment. Those are situations in which many people don't really know that they could benefit from a union, and that's intentional on part of the employers. People just aren't as connected to their workspace as they used to be. People used to work at the same place for like multiple decades. If you're job hopping and just staying in the same place for 1 or 2 years, you're much less likely to actually want to change things there, because yeah, you're not gonna be there to reap these changes. And there's also less of a sense of solidarity between workers. We've got the somewhat new separation between blue and white collar jobs, where people think they are not like those of the other group, while there's actually more things that are similar for us than things that are different. So there should be more solidarity between workers, and there isn't as much as there used to be. But one of the few things that were giving people hope during the pandemic was that 2020 saw the first increase in union membership in for a long time. So I looked a bit around for numbers to back up this claim, and every single country for which I had numbers saw an increase. So for the first time in a very long time, like first time in at least 20 years. This increase sadly didn't necessarily have a positive reason, because many employers just showed how little they cared about their employees' well-being, not providing PPE, making them come in when it really wasn't necessary, and a general disregard for their health and safety. So people went to fight back against that. Also, if so many people are suddenly dying without much of a warning, people tend to think more about mortality and their own mortality. And if you think about your own mortality, you're less likely to be willing to spend your life working minimum wage or not much above that for someone who doesn't care about you. And also, we just realized that we have to stick together to survive. So, sure, there was this loud minority of people who were refusing to care about others, but most people did stay at home, most people reduced social contacts, most people are wearing masks whenever they're near others. So we're sticking together to make it through this pandemic. And a union is a way in which workers stick together. So that could be a reason why some people went back to that idea of unionization. Sadly, we also saw that this increase is actively being fought by many employers. But yeah, that's more of a part two topic. So yeah, first of all, why do we even need unions as employees? The most important reason, in my opinion, is definitely solidarity. Like, even if you've got a job which you really like and where you've got enough personal time off, or you just got the things you need to be able to work productively and to enjoy your work, you can still help other people who aren't in this nice position to get into a better one. Workplace competitiveness is a thing that's been kind of flaring up. Everyone wants to be the best to get those, get a better wage or whatever. And I really don't like workplace competitiveness. If people are working together to improve the situation at their workplace, instead of working against each other to look better in front of the boss, that's better for everyone. Having those without the means to speak up have their voices heard. So imagine you're being your senior employee, and you're just happy where you work, but you're realizing that trainees just aren't treated as well. And the trainees can't really say anything about that because they're seen as replaceable. So when they speak up, they won't get what they demand. But if you speak up for them, there's a much higher chance that they will be heard. And you're also more likely to know about what troubles them if you're in the union, if you're talking with them about their workplace, about what troubles them, all that stuff. Standing together with others makes you feel less alone. It's important to not feel like you're alone, and like especially in the case of workplace competitiveness, you can often feel very isolated at work. And another thing, we in tech do have a lot of privileges that people in other industries don't have, and we could help people out in other industries by changing what is considered normal. First thing is, we've got the 40-hour work week, which was actually a huge success by unions to get us to this place, because before we had that, people were working even more. So the unions thought, okay, it would be fair to have 8 hours of work, 8 hours of sleep, and 8 hours of personal time. While that isn't true if you've got a commute to do, that probably wasn't as much of an issue back then. But these days, the 40-hour work week just isn't the way to go anymore. Because we've seen a shift to jobs where you've got to be concentrated and creative all the time, in many cases. And polls have shown that people just aren't capable of being creative for 8 hours at a time, or just sitting still in a chair at their computer, maybe 45-minute lunch break or whatever, but that's not enough. So people are actually only working around 3 hours a day, according to polls, and the rest is sitting at their workstation, not working, not doing what they want to be, simply because that's the norm and because they have to work that amount of hours to make a living and to pay for their rent and whatever. I actually switched to a 28-hour work week this year, and I've realized I'm being more productive than ever. So I've got 4 days a week of work and only 7 hours a day, and I'm spending more of the time being productive. So my employer is getting more from my time, and I'm getting more time for myself. So it's better for everyone, but it's not normal, and it should be normal. Time-based payment also doesn't make sense in many cases and for many workers. But the thing is, if you go away from time-based payment, you're very likely to get underpaid. So if you've got a union helping you work out your contract and all that stuff, it's much more likely that you could get a non-time-based contract where that's legally possible, that is still fair for you. Another thing that I think is kind of a scandal is that personal time off, sick days, and parental leave are just not legally regulated in many places. And just like the 40-hour work week, which was a victory of unions that got made into law, unions could fight together to make those things mandatory for everyone, so that everyone can go on vacation. People don't go to work sick. Even during the COVID-19 pandemic, we've had employers who forced their people to go to work sick. And obviously that made the pandemic much worse. And parental leave, that should just be something that everyone gets who gets a child, but it's not regulated, so many people don't. Another thing is, it's not normal that yearly wage increases are contractual and match inflation. If your wage does not increase with inflation, you're basically being paid less because you are not able to pay for as much things, especially with the rent increases, which are often even more than inflation. You're just not going to be able to keep your standard of living without switching jobs to find something which is better paid. If you've had a contract with yearly wage increases that match inflation, that would be great, and that should be the default for everyone. And working from home should just be allowed wherever possible, not just during a pandemic, because why is it normal that we spend 2 hours or even more of our day just getting to and from work? We're not being paid for that time, we can't do what we want during that time, and if that's not necessary, we shouldn't be forced to do it. Also, just for accessibility reasons, many people may not be able to get to the office, may not be able to use public transit or whatever. So working from home should be just allowed wherever possible, and in the best case, unions could work to make that into law. Some more quick points. It's fighting workplace inequality. If there's like named wage groups, it's much more likely that people are able to speak about their wages. And if you know how much your coworkers are making, you also know if they're being paid significantly more than you are. And a union could definitely help with that. Also, if you work together and if you're one united voice, you can much better speak up against impossible deadlines and crunch. And those are things that are very common even in the tech industry, especially in game development, which is kind of an industry built upon crunch, and that has to change. Improving the treatment of trainees, just like I already mentioned, if the more senior employees speak up for trainees, things can be better for them. And another very important thing is that a union can help protect your contract. In Germany, we've got works councils, which aren't really unions, but kind of fall into the category of unionization, which get a say in which employees are being terminated. So they can stop a termination or at least fight it very, very effectively. And a union will be able to help their members with legal procedures to sue against an illegal termination of a contract. which is really good to know you have that, because many people just aren't able to fight an illegal termination of the contract, so their employers can just terminate them whenever they want. And just the endless job hopping that many people are doing because their wages don't keep up with industry standards or inflation, that's not good for anyone, because the first couple of weeks, days, months, whatever, where you're not working productively but just learning, those are stressful. And those having those as often as many people do, it's just not good for mental health. And it's not good for the companies you work for, because they constantly have to train new people. Endless job hopping really is a thing that I think shouldn't be as normal, and if we were to unionize, maybe we could make it less normal. What upsets do unions have for employers? Because actually, if an employer embraces a union, they can get upsets too. So it's not just fighting against the employer or anything. Keeping talent in the company is easier. Just as I said, job hopping will be less common, less necessary. Unionized workers, especially those who have fought for unionization, will feel more connected to their workplace because, they work towards making it better. So they obviously want to stay there to reap the benefits of that. And unionized workers are also more likely to try and improve things instead of searching for new jobs. So because they've got the tools to do so, and they might feel more empowered to do it. Finding new talent is also easier. People who are happy with their jobs will recommend their friends to apply. And just knowing that a company has a union contract would, at least for me, be a big pro if I were deciding between offers. Another, maybe a bit more minor thing is that working together to improve the workplace is a form of team building. So your workers will probably get to know each other, will start liking each other more and be able to work together better, not just for unionization, but also for accomplishing their tasks. And also, very minor thing, because you're going to spend time negotiating with unions, obviously, but you're not going to spend that much time on individual wage negotiations, which might also be a benefit. But this talk isn't called Why You Should Join a Union, so let's switch to the main thing I want to talk about, which is union busting. I've kind of split the different tools or strategies up into three categories. We've got the governmental union busting, the commercialized, and the union busting strategies that employers themselves apply. So let's start with the government. One common thing is that strikes are being banned. This ranges from banning strikes of any kind to banning just general solidarity strikes, or making legal strikes extremely difficult by banning wildcat strikes, or banning strikes for government employees, which is also something that to some extent happens in Germany. The legality of strikes being difficult is something that is pretty normal, or just general strikes not being allowed, which we kind of think that, that's just the way things are, but they shouldn't probably be that way. Another thing is police brutality against workers on strike. Historically, that was even, they even got help from the military. These days, the police are so militarized that they do not need the military anymore to beat down protesters, but yeah. Police brutality is a tool very commonly used to fight workers' movements. Refusal to do anything about illegal union busting practices because they simply don't care. And another thing that you might not think of as union busting, but it also is, because the inadequate social systems make losing your job a lot more scary and stressful. So you're less likely to speak up against unfair practices of your employer if that could mean losing your job. And unemployment systems commonplace, not being built to help you get back on your feet or anything, but they are built to make you fear you're losing your job. They don't respect the people who need them. There's extreme amounts of unnecessary paperwork you've got to fill out, appointments you've got to attend to, and also often you can lose your benefits when you don't accept a job offer. And many job offers just are bad. You should not accept them because you won't be treated fairly if you did. But you have to accept them because otherwise you might not make rent. School and medical systems that are built to leave people in debt, because unemployment will almost never cover paying off debt in addition to paying off your cost of living, which they often don't cover fully. And also too little availability of affordable living space. People might want to fight me on that because they don't think that's the government's job. I think it is. I think the government should be providing living space to everyone who needs it. And they don't. Instead, they throw people out of squatted buildings and all that stuff. So yeah. Commercialized union busting, there is a whole industry providing consulting regarding actions that can be taken against unionization. They also provide propaganda films and mandatory educational meetings to reduce motivation to unionize. Some may even spy on unions and employees who may be planning unionization, or they might even place people inside those union meetings to get them to start infighting. And there's also private security, militias, and gangs who intimidate and beat up workers who want to unionize it or who are currently on strike. Then the union busting strategies. One thing people might not think of as union busting is the very common statement of, we're all a big family here. So this is all just a family and we really like each other. And that basically boils down to emotional manipulations to make workers feel bad for going against their employer. They're using social group dynamics to destabilize relationships, especially with people who might want to improve things, who might fight against their employers, so they're traitors against this family. Which is something that might sound good on the beginning, but it really is kind of a red flag if a company calls itself family. I once worked at a company with like 600 people and everyone in management was like, we're all a big family here. Well, very dysfunctional family at that, but maybe they were a family. Whatever. So the unequal treatment of workers is another thing that's being used. Giving certain workers more privileges than others without a clear, obvious reason why. It destabilizes relationships because of envy, and it increases competitiveness because everyone wants to be on that better treat, in a place where they're being treated better. So that's the thing many humans sadly tend to do. It's when met with an unequal, unfair system, instead of wanting to end the system, they want to end up on the place where they're winning, kind of. And yeah, that's really dangerous for unionization. There's also impeding communication between workers, especially during working from home. They can ban group chats that don't have at least one member of management in them. Even if it's just developers talking about technical issues or whatever they're working on, as soon as there's not a management person in there, they're gonna be very, very sad that you started this chat, and they're gonna close it down. If you're not working from home, there may be large office rooms where you just cannot have a private conversation without, a private conversation where you're not being overheard by a member of management. There's also the hiring decisions, pseudo self-employment, because if you're self-employed, you often really don't have access to many union perks, time contracts that they can just end. They can't end it whenever they want, but they can not extend it, or they can make people scared that they won't extend it. And also another thing that's luckily illegal in many places is at-will employment. That's where both the employer and employee can terminate the relationship at any point without any reason. So I used to think those scenes in American movies or TV shows where someone's like, you're fired, and they have to start packing up their things immediately, weren't realistic, but they actually are. If those people are in at-will employment, generally you really don't want to end up in this kind of employment. Another thing they often do is undermining works councils and union officials. Getting people elected who don't actually want things to change, maybe even getting loyalists into the works council that will lie to the other employees about things management is doing, or that won't step in when management is doing bad things. Also, you've got treating council members better than others to maybe hide how badly workers are being treated, and maybe even bribery, which does happen. Then we've got the really dangerous things, which is first bullying employees into quitting with large amount of tools they've got for that, like workload increases, even more impossible deadlines, unfair performance reviews. If you've got different shifts, maybe union organizers are going to get the worst shifts that there are, overgoing them in promotions, excluding organizers from company events to make them feel like they're not part of the whole, and in some cases even open harassment and slurs. Then we've got contract terminations. If you bullying them into quitting on their own doesn't work, it's illegal in many places to fire people for organizing. However, other reasons can be made up. Often those reasons are actually things that are created during the bullying attempts, like bad performance or whatever. And once again, not extending time contracts of anyone who might be thinking of unionization. So, what can you do against that? I think before openly addressing any plans to organize the workspace, you should talk privately with colleagues you trust. And when discussing unionization, you do not want to use your company email, Slack, or similar unencrypted messengers. You should use private messaging methods that are secure. Also, join a union on your own before trying to organize the whole workspace. Union membership is useful even if you're not getting a union contract, and they can also provide you with info materials and fight unjust termination of your contract. Getting the public on your side, especially if you've already got a couple of colleagues helping you out, is also really useful. Public pressure can do wonders, and there's also the possibility of crowdfunded strike funds. So if you're going on strike to get unionized, you're definitely gonna need money so you can keep on paying the bills and everything. And if you don't have a union backing your strike fund yet, crowdfunding can help a lot. Also, join a union if you're not planning on organizing your workspace. I'm a union member, even though I don't have a union contract, and I probably never will have one. But my union dues go towards strike funds for people who need them more than I do. So it's just a thing of solidarity and of helping others against union busting, even if I'm not directly impacted. And another thing is just to not give up, even though it might feel hopeless and things might seem really bad. So I've got some more closing remarks. First of all, if you're planning on joining a union, there's no craft union for tech workers in Germany, but I want to encourage you to consider looking further than just the big industry unions that you might already know the names of. There are small anarchist, syndicalist unions that might be able to better match what you want of your union, and that might also just be more sympathetic to you personally. So look a bit further than those huge unions. Another thing, I'm generally not a fan of those more of a comment questions during QA, but if it's safe for you to do so, I'd be very interested in hearing from you during the QA period, which we're going to start soon. And also, just if you were wondering why I didn't name the companies that were actively doing union busting this year, which is something I was considering, but I've already was threatened with one slap suit this year, so to make me shut up about something I said about a company, and I would really like to leave it at that. So I'm not going to name any companies, but if you look at union websites, if you go on social media and look at like unionization hashtags, you're going to be able to find those names of the companies very easily. So yes, thank you for your time, and I think we've got about 10 minutes left for QA. So yeah, thank you.
All right, thank you. And now it's time for the Q&A. You can ask questions on Twitter under the hashtag RC3CWTV. The hashtag should be visible somewhere around here. The same hashtag should be on the Fediverse also. And you can also ask questions on the IRC at HackInt in the channel RC3-CWTV, just to keep it a bit more varied. And now I think we will wait a few seconds, and as far as Unicorn wants to add something to the talk in the meantime.
Yes. One thing that I wasn't able to add to the last slide because this talk was pre-recorded a week ago is that I've been contacted by the Tech Workers Coalition, who saw that I am going to hold this talk, and they asked if I could say a bit about them. They are not a union in, themselves, but instead they are a group of people who will help others who want to unionize and support them in doing so, or unionization, starting workers' councils. They've got groups all over the world. I was contacted by the Berlin group, which you can find at techworkersberlin.com. And if you're not in Berlin, you can find the main group at techworkerscoalition.org. So they seem to be supporting basically the same things that I was talking about here. So yes.
All right, thank you. It seems like a few questions are trickling in, so we can start. The first question, maybe from the other side, actually. So from the perspective of a founder, how can I support my employees to organize or join a union?
That's a really interesting question, because it's somewhat rare that founders want their employees to start a union, but in general, it's just important to create an atmosphere where you think that you can speak openly with everyone, and where people won't have to fear for their jobs if they do that. You could also maybe contact a union and ask if they want to work out a contract with you. I don't know how many unions would actually do that when it's not actually started by the employees, but yes. Or you could just talk about this during a meeting or whatever and just say, this is a possibility for you, you could do this. Yes.
I promise to not destroy your lives if you try.
Yes.
So another question, what does joining a union offer over having legal expense insurance? So well, a rather cynical question, I would say.
Well, an insurance is probably a good idea as well, but a union is not just for yourself, you're also helping others. And also, legal insurance, they probably are not very keen on actually paying your expenses, so they might try to find a way why they don't apply or whatever, which, so maybe they won't actually pay, and a union is there for you and for other workers. So yes, they exist to pay, not to make money. They exist to help, not to make money for themselves.
Okay, the next question, I'm not entirely sure if I understand, but I will try my best. What is the benefit of joining a union if there is no actual outreach of the union in the workplace, such as the non-existence of the workers' council? I assume this is about starting or joining a union if your workplace doesn't even have a workers' council. I think that's maybe the question.
Yeah, so a union can help you set up a workers' council, but like I kind of wanted to emphasize the whole solidarity aspect of unionization, because even if you're happy without a workers' council and you don't think that your colleagues want one, being in a union will still help other people who actually need the support. And also, as I said during the talk, if you get fired for some reason, a union can help you fight that. And it's also a social group that maybe attending could be interesting for you, like, you know, social way.
All right. Are there any recent success stories of tech workers unionizing in Germany or in the EU that are instructive?
There's been a lot of sad stories or stories of union busting, which was effective recently, sadly. But one thing was where a lot of people were fired, but actually those firings were not legal according to the court, was the Gorillas, like this delivery service, get your groceries in 15 minutes or whatever, who fired a lot of their unionizing workers, and they were ordered to undo that. And also with Lieferando, I think we've seen some successes in unionization recently.
Do you know what the current status of the Gorillas Union? I remember there was a lot of activity like a few weeks ago, but I haven't checked in a while.
I don't know what the exact state right now is. I know that they basically can't find new employees who want to work for them, especially now that they fired a lot of people. And I'm not sure which delivery service it is, but one delivery service in Berlin did actually get a works council at the end of last month. So I don't think it was Gorillas, because I should have written that down, sorry.
Well, if someone knows, you can write it in the Q&A and I'll read it out. All right, I think for now we're out of questions, but I'll wait a little bit more. I remember that Kickstarter had a unionization drive, right? Did that work out? I think it did, right?
Yes, that was successful. They tried to fight it, but in the end, the union was successful and does exist.
All right, very good. It was Gorillas, apparently, says the chat. All right, everybody, this is your last chance for questions that will be answered immediately. Or if you want to say anything, now is a good time. Oh yeah, I have a question actually. Do you know about anyone trying to unionize in the sciences and the universities and things like this? Like I'm a PhD student, right? And I mean, our general working situation and employment situation is always a bit tenuous, and most of the mechanisms for worker representation are very built around people having long-term contracts and stuff like this, and not depending on their employer writing them a good reference letter in the end. So have you heard about anything in that direction?
Not directly. One thing that I did read about was a university that mistreated some worker, or I think they fired them, and the union did actually help them get the job back. So while there's not a union contract or anything, because those things are really difficult to get for short-term employment, you can still get help from a union to improve, or at least get saved if you're fired for a bad reason or something. So I certainly don't know if there's any union drives. And another thing in science is that many people here in Germany are employed directly by the government and fair beamted, and they're not allowed to strike, so that's not very great for them, although they arguably already have pretty great conditions.
Yeah, I think if you make it to that point, you're probably already quite good, I would say.
Yeah, you'd probably even be able to retire at some point.
Imagine. Okay, I think so. One person is thanking you for the talk, which is nice, but it's not a question. All right, I think we can wrap it up then. Thank you for your talk and for answering the questions. Where can people find you if they want to talk further? Maybe somewhere in the RC3 world or something? Or any social media, something like that?
Social media, I'm on Mastodon with multiple accounts. The English-speaking one is at dysphoricunicorn at cyber.space. The German-speaking one is dysphoricunicorn at chaos.social. And I'm also on Twitter at dysphoricdev, and my blog is dysphoric.dev. So
nice. Cyberspace is a very good instance, I would say. All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us today. Enjoy the remote chaos experience, and remember to sleep at some point if you want to. Bye-bye.